I've been whistling that all week.
All day yesterday, I tell you what. It's been a blessing. This has been a good week. It's been a good week to be with our young people and church members alike, and also making new friends. Got to meet a lot of people this week, and I think it was just as much a benefit to the older ones as it was to the younger ones. Just good fellowship, good time to talk, and a lot of times, you know, during church and services, you don't have that kind of time, but we had time this week to talk, and even heard a couple of members say it was kind of like having a revival, and it was, and I thank the Lord for that. It's rejuvenating, and at the same time, I know it's very tiring. If you're working all day and then come in and work the afternoon or what have you, but you know, anything you do for the Lord does not go unnoticed by Him. He notices. And sowing seed for the gospel, that's what this life is all about, and I thank the Lord that He's placed us here to be able to do that. If you will, let's turn to Psalms chapter number 46, Psalms 46. And I'll keep up with the theme for this week. The title for this message this morning is, My Jesus Wants to Rescue You. Now, you can look at that a lot of different ways. You can look at it from the first standpoint of just being saved. He wants to rescue you from this world, of being condemned. He wants to rescue from the world itself. And if you're saved, there's battles He wants to rescue you from. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Just thinking about some of these little battles and things that we face. But while you're turning to Psalms chapter number 46, I did want to make one announcement. Brother David Ward reached out to me this week, and they're having a benefit singing for Brother Toby Hicks, and that's going to be this Friday night, June 16th at 7:30 there at the church there at Westside. So I wanted to make everyone aware of that this morning also, so just to let you know. But we'll read this, and we'll pray. We'll get into it this morning. Psalms 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, and uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will exalt and be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. You've given to us, Lord, already the service, God, that we've had, just being able to feel your presence. God, I thank you for that. I never want to take that for granted in any way, Lord. You're always ever present, very present, Lord, your word says here. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the week that we've had, being with us, Lord, here at the church, keeping us protected, Lord, helping us, keeping us safe, Lord, in the fellowship that we had, in the learning and the growing, and just the time of fellowship that we were able to have each week or each night this week. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I don't take anything for granted ever, but Lord, I know that throughout life there's things that are happening and going on, big things, little things, big battles, little battles, Lord, and so many around us, Lord, are facing hard things right now, Lord, and have faced very hard things this week, things that we just don't understand. Lord, we have to look at you, look at you through eyes of faith, Lord. And God, we just pray that you help us. Help us here in your word this morning. Just lead us and guide us, God. We put everything in your hands and our faith and confidence in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I appreciate this good number here this morning. It is very good to be here this morning. It's been a busy week, and I think many are tired, and maybe many not able to be here for whatever reason, but I thank God for what I've been able to feel in my heart. While we had such a good time at Bible school, you know, it just seems like there was just little things that was off throughout the week. Not even in the church, just life. You know, life happens and things happen, and as you go through things, sometimes you carry it longer than you should. And I've learned that. We've talked about that. And I was just thinking about this week, some things that the Lord really showed me and touched on my heart yesterday. So, you know, we kind of prepare ourselves for the big things, the big challenges or the big events. We kind of prepare for those maybe or look at those. And you kind of see those things coming and maybe take those a little bit more serious than some of the smaller things that we face. And I thought about it like that because it's not like the devil just kind of come at me just from one point, Brother Norman, that was just straight on. You know, when that's the case, you put all your eggs in one basket, you put your focus in one place, and you see it coming and you hit it head on. That's kind of how it is. That's the way I approach things. You put your attention where it's needed. But you know, what's different sometimes, though, is when those little things come and they come from different directions, Brother Allen, different places. I kind of liken it to it like this. I was trying to think of a good illustration, you know, but how many of you have ever had a rock in your shoe? How many of you want to leave it there? Boy, ain't that a blessing, a good old rock in the shoe? It don't matter how big or how small it is, it's painful all the time. But you know, it's funny, I thought about it like that, and I've heard people say that I've got a rock in my shoe, that's driving me nuts. And so I wait, Brother Rodney, I wait a minute thinking they're going to sit down and take the shoe off and drop that rock out and go on. But they keep walking. Another thing that's kind of aggravating to me is somebody said, my goodness, my shoe is eating my sock. I'm waiting for them to sit down. And I'm waiting for them to fix that. But they keep going. I'm like, well, why are you not fixing that? Why? I couldn't stand that. I'll be honest, I'm a big baby. I don't like pain at any level. You know what they say? The bigger they are, the harder they cry. Amen. That's the truth. I don't like it. If I'm sick, nobody's sicker than I am. If I've got a pain, it's never worse than mine. Brandy will tell you that. It's so funny. You just, you know, it's funny how you think about things. She got me a new pair of shoes. It's a pair of sandals. She said, now these things are going to kill your feet for a while. But then once when you get them broke in, you'll love them. I'm like, well, I don't want to break in, period. I want comfort the whole time. I don't want to feel any pain. You know, I mean, I just don't. But you think about, in reality, how sometimes people are better at hiding their pain than others. Where I might let you know pretty quick, this is painful, I don't like it, I don't want it. Other people are pretty good at hiding it. And they'll kind of deal with it or carry on with it. And, you know, and they have that little rock in the shoe. If you're not careful, you'll go through. What I noticed this week, I had a little rock in my shoe. And I left it there. I'm like, why? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Left the rock in the shoe and kind of hobbled around and kind of just let that weight me down. And that was a sore spot for many days and just kind of hobbled on it. And you know what happened? Brother Dale, I got a rock in my other shoe. And I'm like, well, this ain't no good at all. I went from hobbling on one foot to now trying to keep myself balanced because I was hurting on both sides. That's no good at all. I just kind of kept thinking about it and looking at it, and I'm like, you know, why am I doing this? I'm going to have to do something. I went like this through a week. Now I'm saying it's a small thing, not a big thing. The big things, you know, they can be very devastating. That's something that kind of sets you down and it takes you back. But these little things, a lot of times you'll just kind of hobble along with them until they become so much you can't really bear them and you can't really deal with them. You know, the Lord kind of showed me something this week, and He was helping me. And you know, if we're not careful, we'll just try to focus on the symptoms and get rid of just that one little thing. And that's it, and that's all we'll do. You know, it's easy enough to sit down. I thought about it like this. I could have sat down just for a second, took the shoe off, threw it out, put the shoe on, and went right back on. But you know what? If it's attached to my sock, I fixed nothing. Sometimes it takes examination. Sometimes it takes just a little bit more. You know, I never really thought about it that way. not that in depth. You know, we get so impatient with life and things are so cumbersome sometimes, you just want a quick fix. A lot of times there are no quick fixes. Sometimes it takes patience. It takes patience through prayer, letting God do things, you know, things that we kind of carry along. And you know what I kind of did this week? Yesterday morning, had some time to myself, and I was thinking about these each individual things that were bothering me, Brother Sheldon. I kind of broke them down and compartmentalized. And I looked at them one by one, not just like, Lord, fix all these things that I don't have to deal with it. But I took them one by one, and I just sit there, and I tried to pray about it. You know, when you look at things like the problems that you're dealing with, if you're working with other people, it might not be that they're really trying to cause you problems. It's just maybe there's things that's going on in their life that you don't know anything about. Maybe they're inadvertently causing you problems and you don't know about it. But if we just take the shoe off and give it a sling and put it back on and the problem is somewhere else, we fix nothing. We fix nothing. I think sometimes we can think policy will handle things or the law will handle things or whatever, but you know, we should never let policy override prayer. You think about the great problem fixer, Jesus Christ. You know, again, the title, My Jesus Wants to Rescue You. I want my Jesus to be your Jesus because he fixes my problems. And he does the best job with it of anybody. Nobody else can be a better problem fixer than he is. He sees me, he sees my condition, my state, what I'm going through, and then he sees yours. He knows what you're going through. You know, you talk about a mediator that can fix things, sometimes if it's just a little misunderstanding or what have you, instead of just flicking the shoe and going on, if you slow down and take time and pray for the other side, you might see a difference. You see, when you're talking about a solution, you got to get at the heart of the problem. Not just push it away in impatience. It's easy to do that. Lord, just fix this. Amen. It's so easy to look at it that way, Brother Tim. But you know, other people are going through things in their life. You ever thought about maybe if you're having problems with somebody else, slowing down and praying for that person, that person's family, that person's circumstance? You know, if they have a problem in their life too, and maybe they're not understanding how to pray or what to pray for or even praying at all, if you pray for them that they get help for their problem, you know it could help you with your problem. See, that's how you get rid of problems, and you don't just mask things. But we see this here. I thought this was this is the verse that really came to my heart all week as we were having Bible school. It says, God is our refuge. He is our shelter. He is our place to go to. When it's stormy outside and the mess is going on, I want a place I can go to and get inside from the dangers and from the harm. See, God is our refuge. He is our place to go. You can go a lot of places and maybe try to seek help, but God is our refuge. And he is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Now that's what's kind of interesting there, because usually when you and I are in distress, we a lot of times feel like there's no help. There's no help for us. We look around, we feel like we're isolated, we feel like there is no help, there's nobody to be there for us or come to our aid, or this is a problem that I can't take to a friend, this is a problem I can't take to anyone, and what do? You walk around with that rock in your shoe, just trying to handle it, trying to figure it out, or just trying to carry it, or thinking maybe it'll just miraculously go away at some point. But he is saying here, God is our refuge and our strength, very present help in trouble. That word very, that means true. That means real. Real help. I look around the world today and I see a lot of mess and see a lot of troubles and problems, and it's almost like people have just kind of given up. It's like, well, that's just the way it is. But if you want real help, you need to find my Jesus. He's the only way we're going to get that kind of help. He is that good at it. He's very present. Present, that means being in a certain place opposed to being absent, ready at hand, quick in emergency. You got to be able to take him at his word. You got to look for Him and seek Him out. I thought about it like this a lot. If God loves us, then why do we have any troubles? Why do we have any troubles at all? Bible teaches us and shows us that man's days are short and full of trouble. We're going to face things. How often did Israel find themselves in a battle? If you read it, if you kind of read it in succession, it seems like they're in a battle about every single day. That's kind of what it feels like in this day and time. There's always a battle, always something going on, always something that needs to be fixed. I heard something also today, or maybe this week, I thought was very interesting, a little video clip. I think it was a preacher, and he was saying that he's heard that people said, the Bible says, people said, God will not put more on you than you can bear. And he stopped and he said, yeah, He does. Yeah, He will. Because until you get to that point, you think you can handle things on your own. You don't understand that you have to have His help. I tell you this morning, we all have a breaking point. We all need help. Jesus wants to show us that He's the rescuer. He's the one that's going to give us that help. If we went through life without any troubles, without any hardships, how often would we look to God? Think about that. You'd say, well, preacher, if I never had any problems or any hardships, I'd just praise Him all the time. We wouldn't. You know how much we'd take Him for granted? Look how spoiled the nation is. Look how spoiled the United States is. Is the United States blessed? Is it spoiled? Would you say spoiled? Is it looking to God and praising God? It's not. Not as a whole. Why? Taking things for granted. You know, there's hard things that people are facing. And all I can say, and just trying to talk to people, went through the visitation this week, and just my heart's broken for the family. And I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be like when I get there. You know what I saw? The grace of God. The power of God, Brother Nathan. It was real. Brother Mike, he said, I don't understand God's plan. I don't understand it. But I could sense God's grace on his heart. My goodness, there's sometimes that's all that you can do. That's all you can stand. You see here also what it's saying in verse number 2. It says, therefore, will not we fear. It's talking about the big things in life. Let's move away from the rock in the shoe and think about the hard things. It's talking about the big things in life. This is actually talking about the nation of Israel here. If you look at this verse or this chapter, it's talking about the restoration of Israel as a whole. It's talking about battles that they've had as the nation. Again, they always found themselves in battles. There was always an enemy. One of Israel's biggest problems was Israel, though. Their defiance and disobedience to God. But there are those battles that they faced that was not on them, but just what they had faced in this world. We have those too. Not everything is just self-inflicted, if you will. Verse number 2 again, it says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah. He's talking about every possible place, every possible way, trouble coming on every single side. We will not be shaken. You know, that takes faith. I see trouble that other people are going through in their life. And then me trying to understand what they're going through, I stop and I pause and I think, what would that be? How would I respond if that was me? And I fall in fear myself. I fall in concern myself. Fear is not a good place to stay. The enemy wants us to stay in fear, the fear of the unknown. It's just that expectation that something bad is going to happen. You know, that's a bad place to be in. You know, a lot of people stay in that position a good portion of the time. What's going to happen next? When things are going good, it's kind of like it comes to mind. Things are going too good. Something bad's getting ready to happen. I have to stay on guard. I cannot let myself be happy. I cannot let myself be joyful. I've got to stay in this restrained state. The enemy wants you to be there, not God. Can I tell you that? When Jesus set us free from our sin, it's so that we could be free indeed. That's a place of rejoicing. That's a place of freedom. God doesn't want us to be restrained in sin or restrained in fear. God does not want that. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. How often does the Bible tell us that? He don't want us to be afraid. He wants us to trust Him not only with the little things but the big things. The big things we see going on in this world. You know, it is devastating when you see laws that are being made, things that are being celebrated, and things like that's going on. But I tell you, you and I should just be looking up and trusting that the Lord is coming sooner than what we realize. We're getting that close. To me, that's a time of rejoicing. If you're in a bad situation and you don't want to be there, you want to be removed from it, well, Jesus is coming soon to remove us from this situation. That's a time of rejoicing. That's a time of rescue. Only if you're saved. If you're not saved, I'm telling you this morning, Jesus wants to rescue you not just from your troubles, He wants to rescue you from a devil's hell. You don't have to go there. He's paid the price. He's made the way. We see all these things coming around, and I thought this was so interesting. And I'll keep it short and concise this morning, but I thought this was so interesting. In studying about how this is broken down, you see the problems that were portrayed here. These first three verses of the earth being removed, the mountains being carried to the midst of the sea, the devastating things that can happen in creation, the devastating things that happen in our life, and the fear that it causes us. But it stops here at verse number 3, and it says, Selah. In my study, I don't know, but in my study, that means in music, a psalm is a song, but in music, that's supposed to be a pause. Is that right? Is that right? That's what I learned this week, if I'm right or wrong. It's supposed to take a pause. You're supposed to stop. See, that's when you stop at the first sign of trouble, even though it's little trouble. Little troubles make big problems, and then they compound and grow. You stop. You take the shoe off. You examine it. You shake out the shoe. You examine your sock. And you know what you do? That's when you pray for yourself that you're in God's will. And you pray for those around you that may be in trouble also. You stop and examine and pray for them and their family. Lord, help them. Lord, help this situation. It's not all about me. It's about everybody. Prayers aren't a selfish thing. Prayers are for everybody. Selah. You stop. You pause. You rest a minute. And you slow down and you think. Lord, I want you to handle this. Lord, I don't know why this is going on. I don't know exactly how to handle it. I could let policy handle it, Lord, but I would rather prayer handle it. God, I'd rather you fix it than just let it go the way of the law or the way of the world. God, I would like to see you do something. Doesn't that sound a lot better? Let's say you were on the other side of the prayer. Wouldn't you want somebody to pray for the Lord to help you versus the law to get you? Wouldn't you like that help, that understanding? When you're in the middle of the storm and you're facing things, it's saying Selah. It's saying stop. It's saying pause. Verse number 4, I've never caught this before in my reading and going through quickly over it and just reading. But it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river. I thought that was a unique way to start that verse. I didn't understand what that meant, but you're talking about battles. Talking about the nation of Israel, the battle they were in, and Jerusalem that they were in. And so you just envision what Jerusalem would look like. You've got a wall around it. You've got a fortified city that the enemy cannot get into. It's that hedge. You remember last week we were talking about the hedge. And the enemy couldn't get into it. So you know what the enemy would try to do? Try to affect you on the outside of the city. You know, this morning, if you're here and you're saved, Satan cannot get inside the fortified walls. He can't get in your heart. He cannot get in there. So what does he try to do? He tries to camp out outside the fortress. And that's where he tries to cause his problems, on the outside. He's going around throwing rocks all over the ground. He's going around causing problems and seeing which one of those are going to affect you. You see, what the enemy would do if they couldn't get inside of the fortress and get inside of the city, you know what they'd do? They would cause problems on the outside. So we'll starve them out. That river that they're depending on, that river that they're depending on to bring through so they can irrigate their crops and keep everything going, have food and water. What if we stop that river from flowing into that city? What are they going to do then?
We'll starve them out. We'll force them out. They'll have no choice but to come outside the fortified city. They have no choice. You see, that's what the enemy would do. They'd go around, they'd dam up the water, try to stop the water. They tried to stop the power source. That's what they tried to do. They tried to get on the outside and stop it. We'll starve them out. You know, that's what Satan tries to do to you and I. He can't get inside the city, but he'll try to starve you out if he can on the outside. He'll try to stop the power source. He'll try to block you up, dam up your life where you are so concerned about all these little problems that you're not trying to get it fixed. But there is a river. There's a river of power. And that's coming from the Lord. That's where our power source comes from. What do you do during the storm? You ever stop and think about that? You slow down and just break down things little by little, like what you do when things come to life or happens to you in life. Do you really stop and really give it to God, or you kind of just hobble on it for a while? I've been guilty on hobbling on a lot of things, thinking it was small and it wouldn't increase or be a bigger issue than what it is, but then it kind of keeps going. Now I've got that problem and another problem. They keep growing. God does not intend for us to live that way. He wants us to slow down and give it to Him. He wants us to meditate on it. If you look at Job, you don't have to turn there. I just want to read something to you. This through my annual reading and listening through the Bible this year, this is a verse that came this week, and it really blessed my heart. Now, Job, if there's an example, we all know, if there was an example of somebody who faced troubles, probably the most troubles of anybody, it was Job. It was him. He went through pretty much everything. You name it, he dealt with it, he went through it, and we actually see here in Job 42, we see his testimony after the fact. Now, if a person wanted to take a stance against God, it could have been Job. Would never argue that a person do that. But Job could have tried to do that, but after he had conversation with his friends, after he had conversation with God himself, this is what he came to. Job 42. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything." Do you believe that? See, there's things I don't understand. Talked about that this week. A lot of things that go on in our lives and things we don't understand. But we get locked in this small picture of time. Man's life is a vapor. This is a small picture of time. When you look at the big picture, you're talking about eternity. Here's the thing. If God created us all perfect, in a position that we could not sin, that we could not be tried, that we were here only just to worship Him without choice, then everything we do could not be graded. That's just the way we're created. We have no other choice. But God made us that we do have a choice. He gives us this space of time. I know for us, this life, even if it's short at times, this life seems like a long time, but this life is absolutely nothing in compared to eternity. You see, that's what God sees. That's what He's looking at. He's looking at eternity. And He gives us as human beings a short block of time on earth in this flesh to live for Him or not. That's the only grading period that there is. You know, once you're in heaven, if you're saved, once you're in heaven, there's no more grading. There's no more works after salvation. If you die lost, there's nothing else. After you go to hell, there's nothing else. It's settled. But God gives us this space of time to choose to live for Him or not. This is our time to live for Him. This is our time to do for Him. And you see, I think at this point in time, Job started seeing a bigger picture even after what he went through in his temporal life. Every day he was getting bad news, everything that was happening, losing loved ones just day after day, bad news. But he come to this in verse number 2. He says, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." How often do we think in our mind, after we hear something or after we face something, we logically go through things in our mind and we try to sort things out? You might as well just be honest with God, because He already knows what we're thinking. It's not like us talking to one another, Brother Finley, where maybe I have a good way of hiding my expression or clouding my expression from you and making you think I feel a certain way when inside I don't. You see, that's an amazing thing. When we face things, when God allows something to happen or something happens in our life, we face it, and then in our mind we start thinking about it. How am I going to approach this? How am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? And you see, God can read that and see that, and he knows that. He knows if we trust him or not. He knows if we're putting confidence in him or not. See, he wants that confidence. He don't want that confidence to be something lingering way back here. He wants to be at the forefront. And I know we're fleshly, and I know we face things in life and deal with things, but as we're working through things in our mind, we should get to the place that we know, God, you can do all things. That's where he wants us to be. That's where he wants us to live. That's where he wants us to stay. And I'm not saying that it's easy. But no thought can be withholden from him. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. How can I withhold the knowledge? Is what he's saying here. I cannot withhold anything from you, Lord. I can't hide it from you. You already know. You're that big. You're all knowing. You're everywhere. Verse 4 says, "Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." Now, pay attention to this verse. I've heard of things. We give testimony, and we hear testimony. It wasn't during the good times of Job's life that he was saying this. It was during just after the hardest time of his life. He said, I've heard things. I've heard people say things. I've heard people give testimony. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He could see God after the battle and the difference that God made in his life. He could see the difference. He understood better the power of God. What could be seen? He said, I know that thou canst do everything. Just thinking about my friends, situations in people's lives, what they're going through, we have to get to that place in our life that we have that faith, every single one of us unified. Lord, I know you can do all things. Do we believe that? Do we hold back in our heart? Or do we actually believe that? So we look at life situations. I say the smaller things, there's big things to us. There's no little things. A lot of times they're all kind of big things to us. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, that's what that you put your mind on and affect you, that's a big thing to you. When you look at God's plan, the plan is not to stay here. This isn't it. Everything that Job went through, you think, my understanding, Job was one of the first books of the Bible written. Years and years and years and years ago. You think about, you're talking about thousands of years ago that Job lived on this earth. Think about that. Now, where would you say Job is now? Where did Job go when he died? Where would you say he was at? Would you say he's in heaven? Now, you think about us looking back 10 years, like, man, that was a long time ago. Man, you know, the Lord really helped 10 years. You imagine looking back 1,000 years over something. You're talking about a vapor. When you start understanding what eternity is, eternity with God himself, how big that is, that's the big plan. I'm going to close with this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You see, that's the big picture. You talk about a national saving, if you will, or a national refreshing for Israel there, but you're talking about here for the church, you're talking about for you and I. You think about the hardships and things that we faced here, but when you start looking into heaven, you start thinking about the hereafter, you start thinking about eternity. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I was thinking a lot about our young people this week. In Bible school, it's such a good time to be with them. It seemed like everything flowed so well. Everybody was just doing their part, doing their job, so to speak. And I just
want to thank each of you that took part, the teachers, those that helped with the food, the security team, everything. It seemed like everything just gelled so well. And I thank you for that. And God honors that, and God notices that. But if you're here this morning and you're lost, or if you're here this morning and you got a pebble in your shoe, Jesus wants to help you. And he's the only one that can. He's the one that died on the cross for your sin this week. There's five lessons about the gospel. The virgin birth, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the seed that was sown this week. That's how we have strength. It's never in us or what we can do. It's only what the Lord does for us on the outside. It's what he does for us. If you will stand with me this morning, that's the message.